Hello, my name is Marcel van der Hoef and you're listening to a podcast from Morningstar Benelux. In our previous podcast, I talked you through the highlights of Morningstar's recent debate on how to put ESG in practice. This debate featured four leading industry experts. One of them is Samia Jimeli, Lead Sustainability Analyst Manager Research at Morningstar. And she joins me today to reflect on the debate and to dive deeper into the challenges and best practices of SFDR implementation for asset managers. Samia, great to see you again.
Hi, Marcel. Happy to see you as well.
Yeah, we are recording this podcast on December 15. We are approaching the end of the year. If you look at the year that's behind us, what's the biggest thing you changed your mind on as it relates to sustainable investing?
That's a very good question. I think that what I was hoping for but surprised me was the level of engagement of all industry players with sustainable investing. Everyone has had to align with the regulatory framework, but I must say that the level of enthusiasm that we encountered when talking to asset managers and the level of dedication in Europe, at least, have been a great surprise for me. I think there are fewer skeptics around the role that sustainable investing is playing in our financial system, and that there are more and more people that are convinced that it's the way to go for the future of the investment industry.
Yeah. Did you also see that in the debate that we had on December 1st?
Oh, yes, totally. I think that's something that everyone has noticed. There was, during the discussion, a total engagement of the different key players that were represented, and all of them were convinced that the regulation, the overall EU action plan, but also SFDR as part of that regulation, was a step in the right direction. Although, as we saw, we all acknowledged around the table that there were room for improvement, that every player has its shortcomings or areas where they could basically improve.
Yeah. As we learned during the debate, more needs to be done to make SFDR work for investors and asset managers. As we look at the challenges, what is a challenge that we didn't talk about during the debate and that you would like to highlight here?
Yes. So when we spoke about the challenges that the asset management industry is facing, we mainly focused on the cost of implementing the regulation, financial cost, the time, the energy, the effort to align with the regulatory requirements. We also touched briefly on some other challenges that are related to data scarcity. And I actually wanted to go back to that because I think that's a really important challenge for the industry. They are basically asked to report on information that is not readily available. And sometimes the data is not available, or the methodology to process the data is not available, or sometimes even there is no way yet to gather that data or collect that data. So it's tough and not available, but they have ways around that in the sense that, well, there are data providers whose role has been historically to collect that data whenever it was made available, and also like curate data sets that make it easier for like asset managers, but also investors to get a sense of what's happening again at the fund level. But they have also a second way around that. I'm talking about asset managers here. Engagement is a way for them to sort of bridge that gap that exists in terms of lack of information. When you invest in a company, the company is very likely to provide you with information that is helping you better understand what's happening at the company level. And finally, regulators have also a role to play. And we know that there is the EU taxonomy that is being implemented and that should be updated next year. The idea there as well is to make sure that companies also have a good quality disclosure to allow asset managers to get the information that they need for SFDR to be working efficiently.
Yeah, interesting what you suggested, that asset managers basically have to go back to old-fashioned information gathering in meetings. And I think that's quite surprising in the big data world we live in right now.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising. I agree with you. In the day and age of data scientists and cloud, it's surprising to see that you need to ultimately get down around a table with a company to get access to some information that is vital for you. But I think that this will change once the templates, for instance, for SFDR are being rolled out, because the data will be readily available in some documentation. It's going to be a long template in a long document to go through, but the information will be hopefully available through SFDR at the fund level, but also through the EU taxonomy alignment for the company activities.
Because then it will be mandatory for companies to provide that information in a certain template that can be automized.
Yeah, totally. That's exactly how it's supposed to be working. There will be, though, some additional information that won't be in the requirements of the regulation that are still interesting or vital to have. For instance, biodiversity information, related information are things that are looked at increasingly. And there are even some European regulators, like the French regulator, for instance, who have already mandated or required some disclosure on biodiversity. And yes, this data or any innovative data set that or data requirement that would be needed in the future will need the same starting effort of talking to the first concerned, the companies, to get the right information before it's standardized and can be processed in a more industrialized way.
Yeah. Samia, it's been quite a year since SFDR was introduced or implemented in March. We are 9 months in. If you look at all the asset managers, what's a best practice of implementation that you would like to share?
Yes, in terms of classification, we have seen a wide range of interpretation leading to a wide range of classification, going from the most conservative to more generous ones. But what we have been seeing for the last couple of months is those more conservative asset managers have joined the general or the more consensus understanding that has been happening within the industry, which is a little bit more generous. And they have been actually reviewing their frameworks to adjust their classifications and reflect has been happening in terms of less restrictive classifications. But on the other hand, asset managers that have the best practices are being more conservative in the way they define their sustainable strategies. So, for instance, they are more stringent in their exclusions, increasing exclusions to reduce their investment opportunity set based on activity exclusions or sectors exclusions or ESG performance. And the idea behind that is to ensure that regardless of what the regulator throws at them in terms of new requirements for, let's say, Article 9 funds, they will still be able to maintain that level of classification in Article 9. So there is a leveling up of the criteria that are implemented by asset managers in their sustainable funds. And some asset managers even go beyond the minimum requirements within the regulation and try to be really ahead of the curve, anticipating new changes that will be happening in the future and trying to come up with new data sets, with new style of ESG investments or impact investing, for instance, that will allow them to be a step ahead of the competition.
Yeah. What action can an average asset manager take tomorrow to sort of align with this best practice?
The key really to align with the regulation, but also to be maybe ahead of the regulation. Because the regulation is, again, the bare minimum requirement in Europe as of today, is really to keep abreast of the evolution of the regulation. Because before a regulatory requirement enters into action, there are a lot of information that are made available beforehand by the regulator, a lot of discussion and back and forth, and keeping abreast of what's happening on that area is a real way to gain time when the new regulation or the new requirements are being rolled out. The second thing that needs to be done is also maintain a good knowledge of the evolution of the sustainable field on itself, because it's a very fast evolving industry. It's sustainability is in its infancy here in Europe in terms of how widespread it is becoming, although there have been some pioneers historically in implementing sustainable investing. But keeping, again, abreast of the changes that are happening in the industry in terms of new data that is available, in terms of new topics that are being tackled, in terms of new areas that are investable, is what will ultimately make an asset manager a leader or just a follower in terms of sustainability.
Yeah, but with the already incredible workload, this takes a lot of time to stay abreast of these developments, right?
Yes, it definitely takes a lot of time. I can speak for my own experience working in that field. And I echo here some comments and reflections from other people that work in sustainability. Again, it's a fast evolving, fast paced work environment. And you need to keep abreast of what's happening. And you need to understand the short-term and long-term possible evolutions. But that's what makes it interesting also to invest in sustainable activities or companies, because not only you have that intellectual stimulation of understanding the most important aspects of an industry, let's say agriculture or technology, etc., but it also has a real impact, a real economic impact, and it keeps you on your toes when it comes to figuring out how things are playing out on the short and long term. So it's very stimulating indeed, and very demanding in terms of workload, definitely.
Yeah. We are almost getting close to a break, though. Christmas season is just a week from now. If you would write a, let's say, Christmas or New Year's card to the entire sustainable investment industry, what would you write on that card in terms of, you know, wishes for 2022?
Let me think about that. I know that we all need to hang on. All things that are worthy take time and take effort. And we're definitely getting in the right direction with this regulation. And also as an industry, as a community, we are aware of our strengths and areas where we could improve. We are aware of the cost that our engagement with the sustainable investing has. So ultimately, it's going to be hang on, rest during Christmas. And I would say, hopefully, the regulatory framework is going to be clearer next year, so that all key players have a better understanding of what they need to do in order to make SFDR a success. I know it's not going to happen in 1 year time, but if we get it right in 2022 with the EU taxonomy and hopefully more clarification around SFDR, then I think we would have done a lot already. So hang on.
Hang on and take some rest over Christmas. Samia, thanks so much.
Thank you, Marcel. Lovely talking to you.
And thank you for listening. If you want to learn more, please visit the EU Sustainable Finance Action Plan Resources Hub, listen to our previous podcast, or watch the full debate at your own convenience. You can find the links in the show notes of this podcast. And with that being said, thanks again and see you next time.